Next on BYUSN, what kind of impact would Jackson Robinson staying with BYU men's basketball or leaving have on the Cougars next season? And which type of player should Mark Pope target in the growing portal? BYU defensive end Isaiah Banya gives us some BYU football talk, an update on spring practice, and how BYU's defense can build off last season.
With Jimmer Fredette officially on the Team USA 3x3 roster for the Paris Olympics, is it medal or bust for Jimmer? And we'll be joined by the doubles team of Jack Barnett and Red Owen from men's tennis ahead of big matches this weekend.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, March 27th. I am Spencer Linson. He is the official transfer portal player counter. Click, click, click. Jerem Jordan.
Apparently there's over 1,000 dudes in the transfer portal after the first 9 days, which is a record. So congrats to everybody. Of course, Marcus Adams Jr. in the portal, as you guys talked about yesterday. So, transfer portal cooking, man.
Free agency has never been more popular.
I thought it was moral agency. Oh, wait, what are we talking about?
Agency in general. It's a great gift.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Good luck to all of those.
The coaches' transfer portal has been open for a long time.
Yes, it has.
Now the players finally have
it. Now the players have that agency to go and do what they want to do.
A cantankerous coach from tanking you to opposing players.
It's why Danny Sprinkle can leave Utah State after 1 year, making $950,000, and go make four times as much in Washington. That the players have that opportunity.
Let's not act
well.
Like we all wouldn't do the
come
same
on.
Thing.
Come on. That said, all rise and shout. Let's get paid. It's time for What's Trending.
Sorry, what?
What I saw them do from last year in the offseason to this year, they just need to do the same thing and they'll be fine. It's an evolution. We have to remember how much further along they were this year than any of us expected.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Jackson Robinson, a projected mid to late second round draft pick in the NBA if he decides to go. Who knows how much he could improve that stock with some good workouts in what Sean Farnham yesterday called a lighter draft, Jerem. So there is opportunity there for Jackson potential in the NBA. But just for fun, let's discuss both sides of the options.
March 27th. We have time.
What kind of impact would Jackson Robinson remaining at BYU for one more year have on the Cougars and what they could potentially do next year?
Certainly, it'd be great to have him. He was BYU's best player this year. And he's a pro. He's going to be playing pro, whether that's in the NBA, G League, or Europe, or whatever. He's a pro, so certainly you would benefit from him coming back. Tremendous shooter who really carried BYU in some big wins. I'm thinking at Kansas, where he goes 4 of 9 in BYU's NCAA tournament game, 25 points. Clearly the best player to me overall in the game.
Oh, for sure.
From both teams. It'd be nice if he was on the team. I certainly think BYU could approximate what they did last year or maybe even surpass it. I'm not expecting top five again per se, Spence, by the way, because Arizona comes into the league. And I don't think that Kansas is going to be as bad as they were this year.
Finish top half of the league.
But like tops, so that'd be top eight next year because
yes.
You go to 16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, finish top eight. You're in a good spot to make the tourney again. Hopefully you win a game and then you go from there. Hopefully you have some notable wins like a Kansas or an Arizona again or a Baylor. And BYU had like four or five of those that were pretty notable this year. So I would be excited about that. If he doesn't return, you have more space for other guys to sort of occupy that spot. Who becomes your leading scorer at that point? Are we expecting Colin Chandler to be the guy right off a mission? I'm not sure. I want to give him some time to get his post-mission legs under him. Is it Foose again? Does someone else take the leap like Jackson kind of took the leap this last year? Which, by the way, Jackson Robinson is the second iteration of Alex Barcelo in that he didn't play a lot at a Power 5, Power 6 program elsewhere, came to BYU, thrived, gets some national love, is going to be a pro somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That should be on the resume of Mark Pope and this staff of, look what we've done with a couple of these guys that didn't really play elsewhere. They come here, they elevate. A couple things on Jackson. Led the team with 28% of shots when he was on the floor, so usage rate was highest when he was on the court for BYU. And it should be because his true shooting and effective field goal percentage were in the top 10 percentile of college basketball players nationally. Top 500 out of 5,000 dudes. He was a good player. Per 40 was 21.5. His offensive and defensive rating, maybe a little lower than you think, among rotational players was actually 8th in both of those,
okay.
Which is interesting. But when he was good, he was real good. Next year, if he's here, hey, BYU hopefully can simulate what they did and add a little bit of dynamicism with Chandler and Baker, who have a little more one-on-one game than some of the other guys on the team. If he's not on the team, it's okay because you give a little more space to what we think is another deep BYU team. And if we all had our druthers, we'd have Jackson Robinson back. My guess is that he's not back. But I didn't think Yoeli Childs was coming back either in 21. So maybe Mark Pope and this staff pull off another situation like that.
Granted, Yoeli was not a projected mid to late second round pick.
Wild to think that Jackson is a higher profile NBA prospect than Yoeli. But it has a lot to do with Jackson's age. He's 21.
And his shooting ability from distance.
For sure. And the fact that he has a 7-foot wingspan.
Yes.
Like he's 6'7", he's super long.
The intangibles, the measurables, they
in that
really
case,
like
it's tangible.
Those. Okay.
The wingspan is tangible, yes.
Jackson Robinson has the clutch factor, specifically from the free throw line for BYU in multiple games this season.
Yep.
Like,
great.
BYU fans, BYU coaches, team, they all wanted the ball in Jackson's hand late if it came to, we need you to make clutch free throws.
Yep.
He was incredible. So he does have a little bit of that clutch factor. And all season long, we were like, all right, BYU is so balanced. Who are the guys that can get a bucket late that you want the ball in their hands? And Jackson and Dallin Hall emerged as those guys. So, yeah, he does, to a degree, have that clutch factor. And if we're talking about the difference that a guy like this makes, because he does make so many high-pressure free throws and is a guy that will attempt and not afraid to be the guy that gets the bucket in a late-game scenario,
mm-hmm.
let's quantify this in, okay, well, how many more wins would this mean for BYU? Again,
show me the schedule.
He because of the clutch factor, he probably makes BYU 1 to 2 wins better if he stays.
Perhaps. Depends who you're playing and what, yeah. Like, are you playing Arizona twice? Are you playing, what's the schedule?
There are a lot of moving parts there for sure. But if we're trying to quantify, okay, what type of difference would it make? Well, it puts a high-level potential scorer back on the floor and a guy who you trust. Like, losing a guy that you trust so much is always tough. And so, yeah, 1 to 2 wins better. If he leaves, I don't know that BYU all of a sudden is not going to be a top 8 team in the Big 12. I think even if Jackson goes, the staff, with the additions of Dawson Baker and Colin Chandler and, you know, whatever other portal players they add, BYU is good enough to still be a top 8 Big 12 team.
That'll be the expectation.
Even with Jackson Robinson potentially leaving. But if he stays, they're that much better. Then maybe they are a top 6 team in the Big 12 if they win a game or two with Mr. Robinson coming up in the clutch. Hard to know. Really difficult
to quantify. Is that a
reference
to the song lyric? Is that why you did that?
That was not a specific.
Here's to you, Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, that was a no pun intended, quite literally. Okay.
So let's quantify Jax's clutchness, by the way. Free throw specifically, the dude was 90%, 19 of 21.
Yeah.
Shooting the ball in the last 2 minutes and in overtime, 25%. Kind of struggled from the field, but from the free throw line, he was awesome. He was great.
He's that guy.
Yeah.
What can he do to improve his stock at BYU? I don't know. That's the conversation that Mark Pope needs to have.
Start an average
Jackson.
20 a game? Like,
If he averaged like 18 to 20
and
a game.
And shoot 38% from three instead of 35.
Now maybe you're a late first round pick. But again, this draft this year, like, it's not
super
loaded.
Is it better to be
loaded.
In now?
Yeah, like, can you get a better spot and a better draft position if the core of players that are going are not as deep and talented as it might be next year?
Is it a knock at all that he didn't start a ton? I'm guessing no. But also, like, you know, if you came back and you started all year and maybe you're up to 17 or 18 a game and maybe you hit 20 and you shoot higher, like, maybe you can better your stock. Like, you could shoot a higher percentage in certain spaces. Sure, you can always do better, right? You can always do better, no matter how good you are. But, like, Jimmy Fredette had to answer the same question after his junior year. He was at, like, 22 a game, and he was shooting well, and BYU just won in the NCAA tournament. And we were having, if BYU Sports Nation would have existed then, which it didn't for three more years, we would have been discussing the same thing. But, you know, Jackson certainly could benefit if he came back, but does it matter that much to him? Is it just like, no, just I'm 21, get me out there, I've got some buzz, and then I will elevate from there?
Yeah.
Is it better to be in the G League or at the end of an NBA roster next year? Which, by the way, it'll be great no matter what happens with Jackson Robinson, because BYU just needs more pros. They're producing quality international professional players, BYU needs some NBA guys.
They haven't had a draft pick since Jimmer Fredette.
If BYU is going to be the kind of program it wants to be, it's got to produce NBA players. Now, is Colin Chandler the best candidate after that at some point? Perhaps.
It might be Dallin Hall.
It might be Dallin Hall. We'll see. We'll see. BYU needs to start producing some NBA players if they're going to be like, we go and win in the NCAA tournament quality. Consistently. A one-off like Yale, you don't need NBA players.
Yeah. The biggest impact and void that Jackson Robinson would leave is that BYU now needs another player like Jackson Robinson, probably from the portal. Like, if he leaves, like, the intensity to recruit out of the portal gets a little bit more complicated for BYU.
Because it's not just him. It's he and Spencer Johnson.
Yes.
Like, you need other wings who can shoot and defend.
Now you need a wing probably from the portal.
Which, speaking of, topic two. Yesterday, ESPN's Sean Farn was on the program. He discussed what he thinks the roster needs next year.
More athleticism. More size, in particular, more depth of size in the post that can lead to more production. Having a larger variety in the way that you can score. I think all of those things kind of come to fruition in the NCAA tournament. But Dallin Hall is a very good point guard. Do I think you need another ball handler that can aggressively attack and finish around the paint? I do. I don't think obviously you need wings that can shoot. You got plenty of those. You got those for days. You know, who's your rim protector? Who's the intimidator down on the block that's going to be blocking shots and protecting the basket if your guards get beat on the outside?
Great question.
And that's where I think if I was this staff right now, I would be searching the transfer portal for somebody that's a quality shot blocker, somebody that can try to dominate the game 5 feet and in.
Okay, there's Sean's answers. What are your answers to what BYU needs to target in the portal specifically?
Yeah, we were all worried about the lack of depth in the post for BYU last year, and it kind of bit BYU at times. Foose gets hurt early in the season, and then like Ali Khalifa, who was not 100%, is thrust into that role, and he was dynamite in large part. It was amazing to watch Ali do what he did when he wasn't feeling great. But then you have Atiki, and then who else? Like, and then Atiki doesn't play late because he's banged up too. So, like, I don't know. It makes it. BYU needs to add depth for sure, like Sean was saying. Like, I would love a rim protector, an above-the-rim type player, because Atiki really was the only guy that BYU had in that realm. So it would be nice to have somebody else there to help out with that. He referenced Oregon's Dante, who's like, dude, that's what BYU needs. I'm like, yeah, that's what every college basketball team in America needs is a guy like that.
I would love Ryan Kalkbrenner, too.
Are you kidding me? Like, yeah. I would love someone who could dominate in the post like that. But BYU just needs an above-the-rim type player, and they need a slashing guard. Somebody that, yes, can handle the ball and take some pressure off of Dallin Hall. That Dawson Baker will help to a degree.
Yeah.
But you need more. Like, what if one of those guys gets hurt? Then you're right back where you were. It's like, okay, we have one legitimate primary ball handler, and now we're just trying to, like, figure it out.
I think Colin Chandler will be more in that space than you think.
How much do you want to have to rely on him, though, off of his mission?
Well, you wouldn't. You're just asking him to be the third string there.
Again, but if one of those guys gets hurt, then you're like, okay, now he is being more heavily relied upon. I don't know. Can Trey Stewart take an advancement in that area? Can he become more of a ball handler? Can he develop that part of his game? Who knows? But to me, BYU needs to go find a slasher, like a guy who can control the ball and get to the hoop and score and create opportunities for guys. It doesn't necessarily have to be a point guard, but just somebody who can break down a defense off of the dribble. I had a hard time thinking of somebody this morning, like at BYU, that has done that. Thinking, okay, from a wing point, like we've seen point guards be able to do it, but like who in BYU's history has been that guy in the wing that is like breaking down a defense? To go all the way back to like Travis Hanson.
Maybe Jake Tilson was good one-on-one in the post specifically.
Sure, but he was not beating guys largely off the dribble. Travis Hanson could beat some guys off the dribble and
penetrate comes in two forms: either you pass or you dribble. So if you get Jake in the post, that's okay.
And he was bouncy. I mean, like, that's that athleticism.
You want some dunks then?
For sure. Okay. I would love somebody like that. Like, Travis Hanson was, there's a reason he was an NBA draft pick. One of the few out of BYU.
This is just too fuzzy of video. If the last guy we're thinking of is in SD footage.
It's been a while.
That's not good. No offense to Trav. You know we love you. I agree. On Monday I said BYU needs a one-on-one guy. Like, you need an ISO guy. And BYU didn't really have that this year. Like, okay, me versus you, I'm getting to the rim. I'm getting fouled or I'm creating a two-on-one for somebody.
Travis Hanson,
and
BYU baby.
Has lots of shooters. I would like that out of the portal. Now, let's be honest. BYU this year didn't have that guy, but as a team, they were good at pick and roll. They were good at breaking down a defense in various ways, swinging the ball, handoff dribble, switching defense, going under.
They maximized what they were good at.
Yes. So regarding the rim protector, kind of guy, it's like, what will BYU cater to that person in the type of offense they have? Are they going to bring in people who fit the system? Because right now it's like, okay, if Ali's on the court, we're five out and we're dribble handoff. If we didn't really see Ali in the post that much this year, like hardly at all. If Foose in the game, we can dump it in and people are not going to dig down and monster or double team him because you're going to kick it out. So if you do get another big, like who's not going to play that much now? And when is that person going to play? Because BYU did not play two bigs hardly at all. I don't count Noah Waterman in that conversation. I'm talking Foose and Ali and Tiki. Those three guys. Who's not playing now? Because if you upgrade in talent, that's great, but someone doesn't play anymore. So what is it? And you think about Dawson and Colin, they basically are going to replace the minutes of Jackson and Spencer if Jackson leaves. So we'll see. I'd like to upgrade. Yes, you always want to get more athletic and better shooters and whatever.
More size.
Yeah, always. Like, never will you be like, we don't want to be that athletic. Like, you would always want to be athletic. So I'm interested to see kind of what happens with BYU. I'll be surprised if they don't add at least two players out of the portal. There will be more attrition than you think. That's how it just works. Last year was kind of unique in that you brought most of your main guys back. So I'm excited. Should be a tournament team again next year. It's just whether they're good enough to kind of be, like you said, top six, or are they top eight in the Big 12? And then can they win that NCAA tournament game that will define the season again?
Yeah, how much of a void do Spencer Johnson and Jackson Robinson combined leave if Jackson decides to go?
I think notable.
And honestly, I'm leaning towards the idea that he is going to take advantage of the opportunity and go. I mean, if you're already mid to late second rounder and like you haven't even really worked out for teams, like I imagine his stock is going to rise.
How much more can he benefit if he came back? That's the question he has to.
Yeah. Does he start? Does he average 18 to 20 a game?
Right. And if he comes back, I would think he needs to be in the starting lineup at that point.
I know he's bothered about how things ended with BYU in the NCAA tournament. That is a motivating factor for him to come back, where he's like, I don't want this to be my last game at BYU. Like, they want to get Mark Pope his first NCAA tournament win. Like that's just like that looming cloud out there. It's like, man, we've accomplished so much, but there's just like this rain cloud out there. It's like, we still haven't won the tournament.
And Eeyore's right underneath it.
Okay.
Okay, that one guy in your ward that only wants to talk to you when BYU loses.
What happened? What happened, Spencer?
I've got a few of those. Like, the only time they open up their mouths are when things are bad.
Only when
What's up with the Cougs? What's going on?
Like,
I haven't heard from you.
Had a great season.
Until now,
they
dog.
Had a great season. Our question
Thanks
of the day.
Thanks for taking rolling Ellis Corm, though.
If Jackson, at least it's not Daryl, the Utah fan.
Daryl, the Utah
fan. Who knows nothing about Utah, actually.
We're going to own the Big 12 year one, dog.
Cam Rising's going to win the Heisman. If Jackson Robinson were to return for another year at BYU, how would that impact your expectations for BYU basketball next season?
Shut up, Daryl.
Doug Heath on X answers, the team is going to be great next year.
Oh, I like it. Let's go.
Having a future NBA player on the team in his senior season will help elevate them even more. See Jimmer Fredette, who made the decision to come back for his senior year.
His senior was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I think it was pretty good.
If Jackson comes back, BYU will be in the Sweet 16 or better. Well, that's one way to quantify it.
I like Jackson a lot. I don't believe he's Sweet 16 or better, like, level at this point. Maybe he elevates to
But we
level.
Feel better about BYU's opportunity and chance to win at least one game, certainly if Jackson returns.
Totally. Yeah.
Because of that motivating factor.
Yes. I also don't know who's coming out of the portal for BYU either. Like, what that can look like and do for the – who knows? But I expect the team to get to the tourney. I do not expect a win, but I hope for a win. That's where we're at.
Not surprisingly, every notable player that's gone into the portal, like 10 minutes after they go in the portal, they'll be like, these teams have already contacted this person. BYU's always in the list.
BYU's always contacting good
players. Always on the list.
They shoot their shot as they did this year. Join us tomorrow for BYU Sports Nation. Spence is going to be live from Big 12 Football Pro Days.
Yep.
The first edition of this ever, which is going to be awesome. Bunch of Cougs are going to be there. It's going to be awesome. Noon Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, BYU football defensive end Isaiah Banya discusses his decision to come back to BYU for at least one more season and where the defense has improved the most. since their first year in the Big 12. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
He just hits with such ferocity. He is something special, you guys. That's a couple of newcomers that are going to have a huge impact on BYU this fall.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
Football!
It's time to discuss BYU spring football in their final week. And our good friend Dave McCann was at practice yesterday and specifically speaking with one of the guys that we hope takes that next step for BYU's defense as a defensive lineman. Isaiah Banya is one-on-one with Dave McCann.
Isaiah, how excited are you to be wrapping up spring practice?
Dude, I'm excited. You know, we had a great spring so far. You know, the guys have been out here working hard, and, you know, I feel like we've all got a lot of, you know, progression, and we've just gotten better over this spring. So I'm excited, you know, and these last 2 days, it's important for us to finish and be consistent and intentional with the rest of our prep and, you know, take it into summer on a good note.
You chose to come here through the transfer portal, and then you chose to come back for your last year of eligibility. How come?
Well, you know, after last season, I had something left to prove, you know, and these are my guys, and the opportunity I have here is I'm super blessed to have it. And so that being said, I want to make the most of, you know, the position that I'm in and also come back and leave a little bit of a legacy here at BYU. You know, that 1 year, it was good, but it wasn't good enough for me. You know what I'm saying?
That first year in the Big 12, you know what you needed to fix as a unit. And here we are at the tail end of spring practice. How much did you get fixed?
We got a lot fixed. You know, you even look around, like for me especially, like I changed my body completely, you know, and like over this winter, I really tried to be intentional with my prep and, you know, take it to more of a pro level preparation and consistency, you know what I'm saying, with my technique, fundamentals, and even film, watching film and stuff like that. So it's cool, you know, and I feel like I'm bringing a lot of guys with me as well. And yeah, we're coming at it in a whole different perspective, man.
Jay Hill talked a lot about the need to get more physical. So how can guys get more physical in just a few months?
You know, it's hard, but it's all comes down to mindset. You know what I'm saying? Not being afraid of contact, knowing and having courage and confidence in your prep so that, you know, when you come out on the field, it's all easy. It all comes naturally. You know what I'm saying? That's what we really worked on over the winter, you know, especially with Coach Phillips and the strength staff. We had times where in our runs we'd have competition drills, stuff like that, even contact prep. And so that all, you know, ties in and plays a role.
For sure.
What's it like in this second year in Jay Hill's defense now for one of the leaders, which is you?
It's cool. You know, of course, you know, coming from Boise State, you ran a similar defense, but it's not the same, of course, right? And so having that first year, getting used to it, learning the concepts, understanding, you know, where he's coming from, and even when you come down to, you know, specific scenarios in the game and even time management, everything has a purpose and everything has a reason. And so coming into this season, now I have a better understanding of that. You know, Coach Pop does a great job. You know, even guys in my position room, Tyler Batty, Logan Latui, all those guys, you know, they have a better understanding too. And we kind of bounce the knowledge off each other, you know. So it's cool, man. We have a greater understanding of it. We're more comfortable and we can play more confident, I believe, now.
A lot of concern and questions about the defensive front. Mm-hmm. Coming last year where the team had a hard time stopping the run. Those are the guys in front of you. How do they look, and what progress have the boys up front made?
Dude, they look good. We have a few new additions, you know, like Danny and some other guys made some position changes, which I'm really excited about personally. So, you know, it'll be good. We got some really good run stuffers, and even, shoot, they can rush the passer as well. So it's nice to see, and it'll be a good help, especially, you know, on those third downs, third and shorts, you know, even on our turnover on downs when it comes to fourth downs. So I'm excited about it, man. They've been looking great all spring season so far.
Give us your expert opinion now. It's BYU, so yes, there's sir. Always a quarterback question.
Yep.
You got
always.
Two battling each other along with a few others, but yeah. But Retzlaff and Bohannon, what do you think?
Dude, it's crazy. They've been doing a wonderful job, both of them, over this whole spring. You know, you see every single day they've been competing on and off the field. You know, they both have their moments for sure. You know, they both also, you know, do a really good job at taking leadership, you know, and making the most of their role. And I think that's super important, especially during spring. You know, of course it's not fall camp, but it starts in winter. You know what I'm saying? Everything starts in winter. So they've taken a good job of, you know, taking advantage of their situations.
So if Southern Illinois is tomorrow, you start who?
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. You know, it's – that is a tough one. You know, we have two more practices left to see. You know what I'm saying?
So, you're a wise man. You
know, hey, all I know is I just need to get after both of them, man, regardless at the end of the day.
This game on August 31st. Let's finish on this one. What's got to happen between now and that night when you take the field at a sold-out Lavelle Edwards Stadium that's going to have you at your best?
You know, there's a lot of things. I think the most important thing is understanding the scenario that I'm in and also the opportunity that I'm in. You know, it's my last season, of course, you know what I'm saying? So coming into that, I want to leave everything I can out on the field. And, you know, whether that's just enjoying the moment, you know, taking it all in, or just sitting there imagining, you know, what plays I can make on the field, you know, just dreaming like I've been doing since I was a kid. And, you know, hopefully it'll come to fruition.
You're a pleasure to visit with. Have a great summer. We'll be back soon.
Thank you. Sounds good. Appreciate your time.
Isaiah Banya, BYU defensive end, and one of the guys that Jay Hill is hoping can really make an impact because, frankly, the defensive line last year, Jerem, just did not really create tough things for opposing offenses often.
No, it was a struggle. Let's look at some of the numbers. BYU was tied for, you know, last in sacks and sacks per game, sack percentage, you know, bottom three in TFL. So certainly need to do better in that space. And you look at havoc rate, which is the amount of tackles for loss, forced fumbles, interceptions, and pass breakups you have among the plays. Here's the percentages, right? Last year, BYU 14.6. That was 11th in the Big 12. That was the fourth lowest of the Satake era. Year one was crazy. BYU had 31 takeaways, Spence. It was awesome. 17 wasn't even the lowest, by the way. That was actually 18. You need to create havoc. You need to force takeaways. You need to put teams behind the sticks. And BYU certainly can do that better this year. We anticipate that will be better because it's year two under Jay Hill. And it's a lot of the same guys. And you return guys with experience like Isaiah Banya and others who Tyler Batty chose to come back, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully Jackson Robinson takes a page from Tyler Batty. Comes back, elevate your game, get an even better draft pick and go from there. But I expect BYU to be much better in havoc rate, which will help your offense and then help you get into a bowl game. Because BYU is a play or two away from getting into a bowl game last year.
Jerem, that 2016 defense that was so good featured the likes of Sione Takitaki and Corbin Kafusi and RV Longy
and Kainakua
and Michael Davis, like all these NFL guys.
It was.
There was a reason they were good.
It was
Francis
amazing.
Francis
Bernard was on that.
Also an NFL guy was on that BYU team.
Yes. No, that was a tremendous BYU defense. And that team is 12 points away from undefeated.
I know.
Like
a reason.
They were 9-4. But they were real tight games that some BYU won, some BYU did not. But it was pretty fun there, and you're one of Kalani.
Where's that next great BYU defense? Jay Hill feels like he's building it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it'd be nice to see them take some steps in the right direction.
And I think they'll add to the portal on that side of the ball, too.
After the spring, which opens up in a few weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
I think they will. Check out BYU baseball tonight against Kansas. Perhaps Kansas still ticked off about the basketball win. We don't know. Tomorrow at 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+ and BYU Radio.
And if you missed it yesterday, Jimmer Fredette and Jimmer Mania are headed to Paris and the Olympics
Team
USA. So is the expectation to at least medal in some regard or bust after that? This is BYUSN.
Sports Nation on social media, on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your Wednesday headlines.
BYU football continued spring practices yesterday at the indoor practice facility. That's what it's for. Passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach Fessy Satake spoke to the media about the quarterback battle and how it's impacted the wide receivers.
It just really is. It just makes us locked in, getting used to two different guys. It forces them to, they can't get comfortable with one. They've got to, you know, if the ball comes out different or has a different trajectory or speed to it, they just got to get used to that. And we've had that in the past. You know, you think about between Jaren Hall, Zach Wilson, and Baylor Romney. You know, for a couple of years, it was just kind of circulating, and you got to get used to those competitions and those battles. And I think the guys have done a good job with that.
I guarantee both quarterbacks are going to play this fall. Just, it's going to happen.
It happens. BYU eight out of the last 10 years.
Two more practices this spring, Thursday and Saturday.
I hate that it happens, but it does. ESPN's Matt Miller released his first seven-round NFL mock draft this morning, and it features, not surprisingly, BYU's Kingsley Suamataia and Ryan Rico. Now, Miller has Suamataia going 39th overall early in the second round to the Carolina Panthers, and Rico going 255th overall. That's got to be close to Mr. Irrelevant, right? In the seventh round to the Green Bay Packers. There may be a few more picks than that, but like...
Yeah, how many are there? There are 257 okay. this year, so that would be third.
Dax Milne was second to last drafted back in 2020.
DeVito Ofengawe, 01 or 02 was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, could be. All right, let's go Rico. He's trying to improve his stock at Big 12 Pro Days in Dallas.
Do we really care where Ryan Rico is drafted?
Just, if he got drafted, that would be incredible.
If he's drafted, that's amazing. Luke Benson of men's volleyball is the ABCA Player of the Week after 47 kills, hit 412 and 2 5-set wins at number 8 Pepperdine. Benson's the first Cougar to win the award in over 3 years.
Whoa.
Congrats to Heather Olmstead as well, who was named the USA Women's U21 National Coach. She'll lead the American squad in this summer's Norseca Women's Continental Championship in Toronto beginning June 23rd.
That's a pretty stinking cool honor for Heather.
She's been an assistant on that squad,
Yes.
Now she's running the show.
Now the head coach.
Jalen Reyes, by the way, former BYU player and assistant at Nebraska, is on that staff.
Awesome. BYU softball beats Utah Tech 9-1 last night in St. George thanks to a pair of home runs from Lily Owens and Haley Morrow, who hit one of those grand slams against Oklahoma State last Friday. With the victory, BYU improves to 18-12 on the season. They're a top 48 RPI team. Jeremy, I know you love RPI.
You know I love RPI.
Up next, big home series with Houston in the Big 12 beginning tomorrow.
Men's golf finished at 12-under to win the Bridgestone Collegiate Invitational by 8 shots. Freshman Cooper Jones secured his first collegiate victory at 7 under par. Peter Kim, Max Brenchley, Zach Jones, Keanu Akina all finished in the top 20.
BYU women's golf finishing the Fresno Classic in 14th place as a team. Berlin Long led the Cougars shooting 6 over par. She finished in the top 30, tied for 29th overall.
The men's swim team begins competition at the NCAA Nationals today, the championships in Indianapolis. Home of, roughly Colton Potter, our producer.
Yes.
Cougars have a program record 8 entries. Very nice.
Let's
it's been
go.
A banner year for the men.
And BYU track and field begins competition at the Clyde Littlefield Texas Relays today in Austin, Texas, with the women's heptathlon and men's decathlon. Those are today's headlines. I think we should whip it. The Cougar Whip Around presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Now that James Fredette has officially been named to the Olympic 3x3 roster, which that's what they say 3x3, it's not 3x3, 3x3. Do you expect Jimmer to at least medal in Paris?
Yes, his team is currently ranked 2nd in the latest world rankings. I believe the Serbians are number 1.
Oh, the Serbians will get you.
The Americans number 2, and I think China number 3. So yes, the United States 3x3 team will go into the Olympics as one of the top 3 teams in the world. We should expect them to medal. Wouldn't it be something if BYU's Jimmer Fredette brought home a rare gold medal for the Cougars?
This is why he's doing it, Spence. He's doing it to get to the Olympics and to win a gold. You see some of the gold medal Cougs. There have been several, by the way, which is pretty cool. You have several Cougars who have already qualified, notably in marathon. But look, it used to be like Europeans that BYU would have. Alma Richards, though, you go back to 1912 in the high jump. He's one of the GOATs here.
Let's go.
And then in 08, Ryan Millar and Rich Lamborn were on that USA team. Coached by Hugh McCutcheon, by the way, former BYU player and assistant coach, who was the head coach. And, man, pretty cool. So will Jimmer Fredette's name be on this list?
So 3 of those 6 BYU gold medal athletes were for different countries. Only 3 for the United States, 2 with men's volleyball and Lamborn and Millar.
Yeah.
And then Alma Richards in 1912. Jimmer Fredette has an opportunity for Team USA to win just the 4th gold medal ever as a former BYU athlete.
That'd be pretty cool.
Like, that is unique. Yeah. But I expect them to medal. It was so cool to see him walk home with gold. Oh, what an end to the career. Up into the sunset.
I did not watch 3x3 last Olympics. The U.S. was not in it. They didn't even qualify. Oh, they've qualified. And they're going to hopefully win a gold. Let's go.
I can't wait for Jimmer Fredette to just become a household name in the Olympics again. He'll be featured prominently.
Oh,
because he's Jimmer.
He's Jimmer. Yeah.
Speaking of volleyball, Luke Benson was named the ABCA Player of the Week.
Yeah.
How would you quantify what Luke Benson has meant to this BYU team this season?
Huge deal. He's BYU's best player. He's playing great. He's discovered kind of another gear here the last couple of weeks. And, you know, got to take care of Concordia this week at USC next week. And then it's the MPSF tournament. Hopefully BYU can win that because I don't think they're going to have a shot at the at-large. There's too many good teams for only two at-large spots.
Sean Olmstead told me before the season began, I don't even think Luke knows how good he can be. Like, the ceiling is so high for me. It's the highest of any player for BYU right now. Like, he could be, and he said, I don't want this to go to his head, but like, he has potential to get to the senior national team for the United States. Like, that's how high his ceiling is if he continues to progress this way.
Yeah, he's a junior now. The hope is after next year that he's in that mix.
Special player.
Let's take a look at the Big 12 softball standings through nine games. How are you feeling about BYU's start so far?
It's okay. I mean, listen, when you have already played a three-game series against Texas and against Oklahoma State, you face two of the top three teams already. Yeah. And you go 1-5 in those. It's like, yeah, okay. They're top five teams in the country, Jeremy. Texas was number one for the majority of the season. They were number three when BYU was swept by them.
You're aiming for fifth here.
Yeah, BYU's picked to finish seventh. Okay, anything above where they were picked to finish would be a massive success.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you finish in the top six, maybe even seven, you're probably going to the NCAA tournament.
Because of the quality of the
schedule. Yes, because of RPI, my friend, and strength of conference. Yeah.
Which, by the way, men's volleyball uses KPI now as well. It's nice to have another metric not called RPI.
BYU has not played a bottom six team, or sorry, bottom five team in Big 12 softball. Like, one of those series starts tomorrow against Houston. Okay,
let's
look at the baseball standings through nine games.
Yep.
How are you feeling about the Bat-Cats' start to the Big 12 campaign?
They're doing pretty well, in my opinion, at 4-5.
Yeah.
They're playing some quality games, like you mentioned. It's really a logjam, right, from fifth place on, from Oklahoma State down. And BYU's not too far out of the mix there in terms of percentage, right? So, yeah, BYU's shown some flashes of brilliance this year. Hopefully they continue to play well and compete well. And then if they don't make the NCAA regionals this year, that you build and get into that next year as a Big 12 team, that recruits want to come and play Big 12 baseball, which is tremendous. So I'm feeling pretty good about it so far.
This is one of those series that they start with Kansas this week, where Kansas is another 4-5 team. There's a huge logjam with 4-5 teams. Yeah. BYU in the standings has not played a series against a Big 12 team that it has a worse record than them, so they haven't played Baylor or TCU. Like, but there's opportunity here. Like, if BYU, they just want to get to the tournament.
The fact that TCU's 2-7 is crazy, by the way.
I know.
It's a very good baseball.
They just want to finish. They want to get to the postseason tournament. You got to finish in the top 10 to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and I think BYU's pacing certainly to do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun for them to go there. Check out softball taking on Houston tomorrow, 7 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. The last home game featured not one, but two grand slams.
Mm.
So if you like grand slams and you're not headed to Denny's, go to Miller Park.
Up next, the dynamic doubles team of BYU men's tennis with Jack Barnett and Red Owen are in Studio B to preview a massive challenge ahead as they close out senior weekend. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. Time that we give some significant love to BYU men's tennis because they've been playing super well this season, competing at the highest level in the Big 12 against several ranked, highly ranked teams, and their dynamic doubles duo, Jack Barnett and Red Owen, are with us in Studio B. Welcome, guys. Great
to
have you on
BYU
USA.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, it's a big weekend. It's senior day. You got Texas, who's top five, obviously two matches. How you guys feeling going into, obviously, the emotional last weekend, but you got some good competition coming in.
Yeah, I think like these two teams we're facing, you know, they're going to bring their A game. You know, I'm pretty sure Texas have beaten three top five teams in the last 2 weeks. And I mean, but to host them at home, I think we're going to be ready. It's going to be big.
Yeah, it's a great privilege and we're excited to get after it this weekend.
Okay, if the weather holds, obviously you'd be outside. Do you move indoors if it's too cold? Like, who's making that call?
Yeah,
are you indoors making that call? You're like, hey.
No, that's above our pay grade. But, but they just barely said, actually, tomorrow's going to be indoors. So
tomorrow will be indoors. Okay. Mm-hmm. So go indoors, watch BYU versus Texas. That's always a fun matchup.
It's outstanding. Yeah. Is there added motivation knowing that Texas is leaving the Big 12 after the season? Like, this is your one shot at them at home, most likely. Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, when I saw the schedule, I was just thinking, like, you know, especially Oklahoma as well. Unfortunately, didn't get that one. But Texas, you know, knowing now, especially how high they're ranked, you know, when are we going to play them again? Probably NCAA tournament, you know, maybe. So, you know, looking into that match, super pumped for it. Yeah.
Okay, you guys are a doubles duo. You're number one and four in singles. Red, tell us about kind of the dynamic of playing together, but also trying to help your team out in singles, of course.
No, for sure. And that's what's so interesting about playing college tennis is for our whole lives, it's been individual. And so we've only had to, our own sins have only hurt ourselves. But here in college tennis, and especially in doubles, you know, we're together and we're relying on each other, even though it's still individual. But playing with Jack has been a wonderful privilege. It's helped me, you know, go through the final stages of getting the rust off after my mission. And we have a really special group, and I think we complement each other well as partners.
And you went to, is it pronounced Benin or Benin?
Both, either one.
Both?
Yeah.
And then West Virginia, I'm assuming there was some
COVID transfers. Yeah, so I started in West Virginia, then went to.
And then went there? Mm-hmm. Just visa issues or
something? Yeah, COVID, beginning of COVID.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How was that? Because those two places could not be more different from each other.
Right, and West Virginia itself is like a different country from here.
My sister lives there, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was exactly kind of how you'd imagine. You get your mission call and you go somewhere so exotic like West Africa, and going there 3 weeks in, you realize that you're not just on a fun summer camp, you live there. And so it was one of the most special and difficult but meaningful experiences of my whole life.
I didn't know where Benin or Benin was until this morning. So yeah. I have learned, yeah, it's like two away from Ivory Coast, home of Charles Obuo, mm-hmm. Who we really like. And then, Jack, you're from Australia, man.
Yeah.
Why was BYU in the cards for you?
Yeah, I actually left Australia when I was 15, went to a tennis academy in Spain, then moved to Florida, and then was looking at the process of coming to university. And, you know, the head coach reached out, got in contact. I'd never heard of BYU, never heard of the church, and it's kind of crazy to think now I'm, you know, I've loved it, loved my time here, and yeah, it's been a great journey for sure.
Wild. Jack Barnett and Red Owen with us on BYU Sports.
World travelers
Station.
Here.
Seriously.
All over the place.
Like the frequent flyer miles are ridiculous.
Yeah, that's amazing.
In your professional career, your tennis careers, I should say. We mentioned the success that you've had. 10-match win streak earlier this season. You've elevated your play in the Big 12. Why do you feel like BYU tennis, with some new coaches in place too, has taken a nice step in the right direction? What's gone into that? Both of you answer. Jack, we'll start with you. What's gone into that?
Yeah, I think for me, the energy portion, Coach Zach and Coach Jonathan have brought so much energy to the program. You know, they're really uplifting and, you know, they're so motivating. We want to go out there every day and I think do our best, not only for them, obviously, but for BYU Nation and for ourselves. For me personally, it's been a refreshing experience having these two new coaches in.
Okay, so Jack's feeling the energy from the coaches. Red, would you add anything different to that?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to give the coaches a shout out as well. They've got that. They're really good at paying attention to detail. And I think at the level of the guys that we have on the team, we have a wonderful camaraderie. We're friends. And we hang out outside of tennis, which we're spending a heck of a lot of time together on the court. And so it says a lot about the culture we've built just this year, that we even want to spend more time, whether it be going to church on the weekends with each other or just hanging out. We sure love each other, and it's a special group.
Jack, your dad was a pro water skier. Are
yes.
you good at water skiing?
I've never water skied.
Not once?
Once? One time I spat the dummy, never again.
Yeah. We got to get you out on a lake again here.
Maybe. We'll see.
And then your dad played tennis at the U.
Yep, my whole family is diehard University
They're
of Utah
They're all
fans.
Utes.
Yep.
Red,
yep.
What happened?
I converted. I came to the light. And we're still...
and your name's Red, for
right, exactly.
Sake.
But the big thing is I've got three younger brothers, two of whom have now committed to play on the men's tennis team here.
Look at that.
And so we're almost
the
building a majority.
The hearts of the fathers.
Yeah.
To the children and the children of the
you,
fathers.
You Let's plant go. The seed, you nourish it, and exactly. it become delicious unto the soul. Right?
Right.
That's how it works
exactly.
with BYU, okay?
You can't give up on people.
Okay, sell the homies on why they should come out and see BYU Texas in the final weekend here. Because you also have Baylor coming up Saturday as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tennis experience at BYU is one of a kind. You know, we've got a new light show coming out. We got
snap.
Cosmo coming out, obviously.
Ooh,
you know,
let's go.
And I think the energy that we bring, that the crowd can bring us, it really helps us to do better.
And
you know,
free pizza, no
free
less.
Pizza, free
there
admission.
Yep. Yep, free pizza, free admission. But it's a fun time, lots of energy. You can get super loud. Yeah.
And you can wear your hat backwards while you compete.
Exactly.
There's not too many sports where you can do
no,
that,
No, exactly.
Right? Is that your look? That's how you roll?
Yeah, indoors, just because it helps me see a little better. But outside, I'll wear it forwards. But, yeah.
Awesome.
Favorite tennis players on the professional circuit right now? For both of you. Red, we'll start with you.
See, for me, I'm a Novak Djokovic guy, and that gets me a lot of hate, but I have converted as well to Djokovic. I was a diehard Federer fan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. And him. I'm a little biased because he was really nice to me in a player's cafe one time when I was watching Jimmer Fredette, and he like moved out of the way so I could watch Jimmer Fredette.
He asked him to.
He's like, are we blocking the TV? Do you want some? It's like, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Sure. Thanks, man. Okay. What do you think, Jack?
Oh man, this is controversial, but I think Nick Kyrgios, the bad boy.
Kyrgios, he's hilarious,
yeah,
dude.
I love him. I mean, I've met him a few times, and he's such a nice guy outside the court. Unfortunately, he does get a bad rap on the court, but I mean, I think he's authentic, and without that, you know, I don't think I'd enjoy his attitude so much. But yeah.
You need a little bit of that.
Yep.
Like,
I'm like that a little bit. So.
Come on. Like, we need that. We need that at BYU, and we need more Red at BYU in the appropriate fashion.
Yeah. Well, good luck. All the karma we can give you this weekend against Texas and then Baylor on senior day for you, Jack. So congratulations on all the success and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, all right. Guys. It's great to have BYU men's tennis.
Absolutely.
In the house.
We'll have some tennis. Men's volleyball taking on Concordia Irvine this weekend as well. You can check that out Friday and Saturday at 9 Eastern time. Look at Luke Benson, the National Player of the Week. Those are both on BYU TV.
Hey, let's stay with the volleyball theme because today's Rise and Shout Out goes to multiple volleyball standouts. Details on the way after this.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Yo, this show, like many, is on demand. You can download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the pod. Please subscribe, rate, and review. The several of you who have reviewed, we appreciate it. It's very nice.
Yes.
Review some more.
Even if there are mean comments.
That's okay.
Remind me to tell you after
the show about one thing.
Can't wait. Can't wait to hear it. Our question of the day.
What are you saying on the show?
If Jackson Robinson were to return for another year with BYU men's basketball, how would that impact your expectations for the Cougars next season? Nathan Chantry on Instagram answers, they stay the same. Get to the tournament and try to win the game. I'm just more confident with Jack Speck. That feels like a very fair take.
Yeah, that's the fair take of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevate. No.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevate, comes in from Walter Peterson on X, who says, BYU would have an elite scorer in Jackson Robinson who's bought into BYU, who knows the scheme, so it would be tremendous, and I would expect at least a win in the first round of the tournament.
If Jax comes back, you expect a win.
I feel better about it.
I need to see how Dawson Baker and I need to see how Dawson Baker and Colin Chandler perform. I need to see what BYU adds out of the portal. I need to see is everyone staying? Chances are someone leaves that surprises you. Like, more often than not, that's happens, right? What does the staff look like? How much attrition is there? There's a lot of sort of pieces that need to be figured out.
Yeah, and that's what Sean Farnham was saying yesterday. I said, hey, do you buy into like the guys getting motivated because they lost? And the first he's like, no, like the roster, and it's all going to be different. And then he's like, but we lost to Detroit Mercy when I was at UCLA, and we were back in the gym on Monday, and that motivated us. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, maybe there is something to that.
Shout out Noah Waterman, who went to Detroit.
Let's go.
The fighting who's? I don't know what.
All right, let's throw in one more tweet. Caleb McKay on Instagram says, I expect another top five finish in the expanded Big 12 and a win in March. Like, you add two teams. So, frankly, if BYU finishes in the top eight in a 16-team conference, that, again, is going to take on at least the idea of the toughest or one of the toughest conferences in America, that would be something.
I think it stays, Spence. Houston is awesome. You're bringing in Arizona. You upgraded, actually, over Texas and Oklahoma.
Listen.
Colorado was in the tourney and won again.
If you include Arizona right now, like, the Big 12 has a one seed and two seeds remaining in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, top eight would be certainly awesome.
All right, today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
By the way, Detroit Mercy, the Titans. Okay, Luke Benson and Heather Olmstead.
They had the court storm with one fan, right?
Did they?
Detroit Mercy.
That's hilarious.
Wasn't that the team?
Can you call that a court storm? Yeah.
The one fan after they snapped their forever long losing streak.
That's not a court storm. Luke Benson, National Player of the Week. Heather Olmstead, U21 coach for the USA. That's all.
Oh, man.
It's not a court storm. It's one person.
Our thanks to today's guests, Isaiah Banya, Jack Barnett, and Red Owen. A Red at BYU.
One story, yep. He's going to name his son Blue. Sorry, Blue Edwards. Sorry to Dennis. Ran out of time.
For Jeremy, I'll stretch your shout out to Brandon Ogletree. We'll see you tomorrow back here for more BYUSN. I'll be live in Dallas from Pro Days. Go Cougs.
Yeah!